Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming to you on this President's Day Monday. And unfortunately, the week has to start out with some obviously very sad news. Supreme Court Justice Scalia passed away over the weekend. And of course, very sad. Anytime we lose, no matter which side we lose, anytime we lose somebody, it's always a sad story. But, of course, this is going to be a bloody battle. And he wasn't dead 5 minutes, and they're already battling for position. You know, I think that tells you alone what is wrong with our system of politics right now, is that right already these jackasses are fighting. The guy wasn't even cold yet, and they're battling and threatening, and it's going to be an ugly battle, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the next few months. Obviously, there's got to be a candidate appointed, and then go through all the rigmarole. Of course, our fearless leader can appoint somebody on a 2-year term, even though the Supreme Court is a lifetime term. He can supersede everybody and just say, okay, we'll give you a 2-year term, and we'll see how it plays from there. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of one-upmanship here, and it's going to be ugly. But it's sad that it should be that ugly, because no matter what side of the aisle you reside on, we should all have similar goals as to where we should be in this country. And I think that is the message that we continue to misplace, is where should we be and how should we be doing? And to me, that is a sad message that you are sending when a Chief Justice of 29 years, I think it was, passes away, and we can't even let his body get cold before you've got McConnell and Reed already at it, and plus a number of others. So it's going to be an interesting week this week. We've got obviously no markets today, although Globex is open. And of course, we've got the Fed minutes on Wednesday. And there are some hawkish governors there, which means that they want to raise rates. Janet Yellen last week on her testimony on the Hill did not indicate that was going to be the case. But we'll see how it does play out. And I think that that's something that we always have to stay focused on. I mean, it really shouldn't matter. I mean, the truth to be known, it's really a silly, ridiculous Federal Reserve that we are dealing with that cannot see the forest before the trees, as they say. And of course, they continue to tell us everything is good. And, you know, who am I to argue? I mean, you know, I don't agree. I think that it's quite evident that this is a bubble. I mean, I'm not going to stop now. It's a credit bubble. And, you know, again, you can go back to 1928 and before, but Andrew Mellon in 1928 said the high tide of prosperity will continue and will carry. So that was in September of 29. So, you know, you continue to see this action. But more importantly, the action you're seeing in the market from a trading standpoint is when you see these vicious short covering rallies, that is telling you that we are in a bear market. Okay? Bear markets have vicious movement. Bull markets grind. So we are definitely in a bear market moment here. Now, whether or not it's going to continue, I don't know. I would think we will see a continuation. I think we will see some more destruction. I don't see any other way around it. We've seen you know, some major beatdowns in some of the big companies. I think there is many, many more issues out there. And of course, we still have the commodity collapse, which is never good. And you tie that in with a rent bubble. Okay, and what is a rent bubble? It means that because nobody has the ability to borrow money to go out and buy that new home that everybody wants to have, landlords know that as well. They're jacking up rents. And people are buying up rental property like they were giving it away for free. Sound familiar? Okay, so, you know, I ask the question, you know, is the government too big? Are we putting ourselves in just a deeper hole? You know, I don't have all the answers for that. But one of the answers I do ask, or one of the questions I want to ask is it right that we should have banks and companies that are too big to fail? Should not the very people that put us in the jackpot to begin with their no-doc loans and if you had a pulse, you could borrow money and buy a house? Not, why should we be paying for what they did? Okay. Why are we on the hook for the banks? And that, to me, belies the bigger problem. And of course, the banks are also starting to get into a little bit of trouble here. And, you know, it's hard to believe, but they are, because, again, they make their money by lending out more money. And because they don't have that ability right now, because they don't want a loan, because they don't want to be at risk. And I can't blame them in this case, because the economy is shaky. We are seeing a bunch of things happening that don't make logical sense. We do see the world melting down. Now, this week you've got, you know, Mario Draghi speaking as well. China is back from the new year, and happy new year to all those Chinese that listen in. You know, but at the end of the day, is there anything that has changed since we started to sell off a little bit? Are the jobs all of a sudden better? Did we all of a sudden find some more manufacturing? I mean, you know, when you look and you look at the transports on a four-year low, okay, I mean, with gas prices down here, you would find that hard to believe that they should be in so much trouble. But again, markets, they don't announce themselves. They don't tell you when they're going to go into trouble. They just start to go. And, you know, again, we haven't seen the major puke yet, or what we call the capitulation bottom. We do see these big moves, and then, of course, they resolve themselves and start to move. And, you know, it's funny because on Thursday, when we started this recent rally, it was fairly easy to spot that we were coming down to some level of support. But overall, the markets look like they're headed for doom. They look like they are going to go significantly lower. But it will not be in one fall swoop. It will be over time. You will see many rallies, and you will see these extended, vicious moves. So just remember that what you're really trying to do is, if you're investing, you're looking for great companies that are finding good levels of support that you want to get into. If you're trading, you want to look for good opportunities to sell into these unbelievable rallies, because at the end of the day, they're most likely going to break down and go the other way. That is the probability model in which we work off of. So keep that in mind as you're watching the markets. But I hope everybody's having a great President's Day off, if you're off. And again, our condolences to Justice Scalia's family. It's always, again, sad to lose a great one. And again, no matter what side of the aisle you are, you have to feel some sympathy for the family. And, you know, we'll get going here. And we've still got our regular crew coming in. So go to BubbaTrading.com. Check out what we're doing. Check out the hedge program. Again, I'm telling you, just remember, Bubba's warning you, saying, hey, you're better off being protected than not. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you ever miss an episode, you can go to libertytalk.fm and get it on demand. Yeah. In the meantime, I'm going to step out of here for a break. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I will be right back after the break.
Stay with me now.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report, heard worldwide with all of her wisdom. What's up, Jane?
Well, just watching the markets over this week and trying to figure out where do we go from here. This has just been a really brutal time to be in the markets, and I don't think it's over yet.
I think we have a lot more to go, but you know, I'll tell you one of the things that really bothered me, and I want to get your take and opinion. You know, obviously, I watch a lot of the financial media shows because obviously I'm involved in it, so I want to know what's going on. And I wrote a blog this week, and I said the first problem to fix the first thing to fixing your problem is admitting you have one. And I still hear every economist and everybody refuse to admit that there's a problem. So if you don't admit that there's a problem, we're not going to be able to solve it. And I think that's part of the problem here is that we continue to hide from the reality that the financial system, the economy is in weak and in sad shape right at the moment. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so too. I mean, I've heard a lot of people on the financial channels, analysts saying that the U.S. is going to weather the storm. There's good value right now. We're not going to have a recession this year. And I just think they're being a little too optimistic. I mean, to me, like when I see Europe selling off and they have a bank problem there and Asia selling off hard day after day, oil below $27 a barrel, gold finally has gotten some life to it. And I think all those things in the market tell us a recession is possible this year. I'm certainly not going to write it off. I think things are slowing down.
Well, I mean, now again, I'm still banging my drum that the average guy never left the recession. So where is it? I mean, I can't see that the average middle-class American has ever come out of the initial recession that we were in 07, 08. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I think maybe in some ways. Their house has probably gone up in value since 2008. They may have gotten a small increase in wages, but certainly nothing like historically we should have gotten. But there's still a lot of debt. We have some people paying down debt, but I think they're not where they should be. You know, whether it's still in a recession or kind of out of a recession for them, the middle class is not where it should be. And that brings us to the election, which I think we're seeing a lot of that surface in the election with Bernie Sanders, the popularity of him, the popularity of Donald Trump, and the failure of big money in politics. I mean, people are rising up to the system in politics and who really has the power.
So, you know, when I look around, and of course, you know, we talk often about your, you know, Midwestern gal from in the beginning, but I'm saying, in my opinion, that most of this trouble was caused by the Fed because of their short-sightedness of who really needs to have capital and inflation and flow. And that's really it starts with the farmers, but it goes into the commodity space. And because the commodity space has been under such duress for, I mean, we're, I think, at 18 or 19-year lows now in the Bloomberg Commodity Index. This is not a good sign because in economies, everybody's got to make money from the producer to the retailer to everybody. And because the Fed has done a lot of these things that actually forced those prices lower, that has caused more of the problem than anything else. What do you think?
Well, I think the Fed got away from its mandate a few years ago. I mean, it really is supposed to control the money supply. You know, basically, and then they started being concerned about the stock market. They started being concerned about the housing market. They started being concerned about jobs. And they're just so in it too deep at this point. I mean, you could really, I was thinking about this yesterday, you know, during Janet Yellen's testimony, and I was like, she's kind of in a box. And it really started with Alan Greenspan. I mean, everybody thought he was just such an amazing economist, and for the time, at that moment in time, he did seem to be doing everything right. But a lot of the things we're dealing with today, I think, were set in stone back in the 90s, the low interest rate policies for a long time, the easy money, and then it's really just, you know, the Fed now has just gotten into this thing where it's short term. It's like month to month, we're going to make a decision based on the data points that we get the day before we meet. And I don't think that's the way to construct an overall healthy economy for the long term.
So, I mean, and you said it all. I mean, you've said a mouthful, which is the Fed has left their mandate, which is, and it goes, and it does go back to Greenspan. I mean, everybody thought what a great guy he was, and they had the big, you know, it was always the big story with his briefcase. Was it, were the papers in or were the papers
out? Right. He was the maestro.
You know, and at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you have to just admit and say, hey, we got a problem. Let's fix the problem. Let's not try to patch the problem. Because, in my opinion, the problem was easily solved. And we didn't do that, and now we are painted into a box, into a corner, which I've been on that bandwagon for a long time as well. But what I want to really ask you here is, I know you're not a huge holder, but a pretty big holder in China, and of course they've been closed all week. Are you not so much anymore
after the sell-off?
Are you concerned about, you know, after this New Year comes back and after they all come back to work? Are you worried about what might happen there?
Oh, I am. I'm totally worried about it. I mean, I've been looking. I look at the Asian markets when I get up every morning, and been seeing the sell-off in Japan and Hong Kong, and I'm like, well, I'm glad the Chinese markets are closed this week, but there could be a lot of pent-up selling that will take place once they reopen on Monday. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, I have believed in China, you know, for the long term for a while, and this is painful, and it's... you know, but is this a great time to sell China? I mean, after it's sold off, you know, 20-30%, I mean, I don't think so. So I've gone through a lot of different scenarios in my head. I'm like, well, maybe this is a time to kind of up, you know, what we put into that Chinese fund every month, with the prices lower. I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet. I don't feel like this has played its way out, but maybe later this year. But I'm not going to pull it. I think it's a terrible time. I don't panic, and we'll see. But it's scary, and there's some huge moves in the Chinese market. But, you know, I think about the U.S. I mean, it took a long time for the U.S. to become a powerhouse. We went through depressions and recessions and wars, and, you know, China's having their growing pains as well.
Oh, look, you know, again, I wrote a note on Thursday morning, and I said, look, don't panic. Take a deep breath. Relax. Because at the end of the day, we know the markets are going to recover. We know the U.S. is going to recover. But, of course, it's the sadness of that we didn't have to be in the position we're in. And that I find that more disturbing. Look, markets go up and down all the time. This is not a new deal, right? I mean, we've seen it. We've expected it. I've actually called it for a long period of time here and felt that we were overvalued. But I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to go take all of my investments and dump because I think this is it. This is the big problem that people don't understand is when you make emotional decisions under duress, under fear, very rarely will you make the correct decision. And I think that's a bigger story. And I think that's what people really need to know is like, you're very calm. I mean, look, obviously you're not happy, but you're not, you've invested money for your kids' education that you're not going to need tomorrow. So you're not in a panic and not in a hurry. And I think that's what more the common investor needs to take, the message they need to take away from market movements like that. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard, but you're right. I mean, the time to sell isn't when it's going down. You know, I think you have to, you know, you have to make your decisions, I think, from the very beginning. And I knew that the market in China wasn't going to be up 80% every year, and it wasn't going to be up every year at all. So this is entirely expected. It's the way markets behave. I know China is a bit of an immature stock market. They're just now starting to change, you know, centuries of the way they do things monetarily. So it's entirely expected, but it is hard. It's hard to see it. It's hard when I open, you know, that Matthew's China account and look at, you know, what's in there. But it is what it is. And, you know, and I'll deal with it when my kids are ready to go to college and we'll see where we are and we'll figure something out. I mean, that's kind of my motto in life is I'll figure it out somehow.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. Listen, the best solution is don't open the statement.
But you know what? I had to because I've had all this tax stuff that I have to turn in. So I did actually have to look at it. You know, and but yeah, you're right. I mean, I won't. Once we get all this tax stuff settled, I'll keep it closed for a while.
I mean, you're not going to sell now, anyways. And again, you're smart enough to know that these times are not the times you sell. These are actually times if you have capital that you start to look for opportunity. And that's really what it comes down to, Jane. I mean, that's why we love Jane King because she brings, like GE, she brings good things to light. Jane King, I always love having you on. I appreciate your time, and I know you're swamped.
Thanks,
and busy, but I appreciate having you on. This has been Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out of here for a break, and make sure, relax, you don't have to panic. You'll always be fine. Markets will always find a way to work themselves out. As we step out here for a break, remember that was Jane King, our good friend from the Kaching Report and Lila Max Media. Check out BubbaTrading.com. And also, if you miss a show, Liberty Talk FM on demand, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, Mike McClone. Get my blood boiling. Let me get my blood pressure pills out. My man is here. What's up, Mr. McClone?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
Well, it's always good to have you, man. I mean, you know, you got a good feel for the market. You got a good test of it. You understand it. I mean, you know, Mike, before we get started, I mean, you know, it's very important that everybody out there who wants to invest. Now, you don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be, you know, studying in the markets. But I think it's important that people just understand how the market functions on its own. And you know, you are down on the floor, so you get it. You know, most people don't understand how markets actually work. I think it's important that they do because, you know, you're buying, I'm selling, and we're creating a model of price discovery of where we're going to exchange wealth. And, you know, that's it's really that simple. But is there anything you can throw out there to help the average guy along, just to make him understand how the actual market works versus just where going up or down?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember in this at this juncture where we are now is something you and I learned really early and learned in the pits is bear markets can take money from everybody. Number one, I think we're in a bear market, in the equity market, and globally. That's most other countries in the world already are. And number two, what that means, it should make it as difficult, as complicated, and as confusing and painful as possible for most people. Meaning, once you think the market's really going down and say you sell, expect it to go up and have someone come out and say, oh, I'm going to buy my own bank stock, which like happened last week with Jamie Dimon and some Fed type of, you know, government bayout or anything, and cause massive short covering rally. So the whole idea is volatility. So I think the key thing we need to keep in mind, you and I and our listeners now, is to be cautious, expect the unexpected, and focus on the basic bottom line themes that you and I have discussed for over a year now. And that is, it's very likely the U.S. stock market and global stock market is mean reverting and should continue down for a while. Unfortunately, we don't want it to, but we have to act accordingly. And what should we do about it? And wait for good short covering rallies to sell and or get out and put on positions where you actually can make some money. And one thing always to remember, I think, let's be careful. And this is also advice to myself because it's really hard. We all know how really hard it is when when markets go down a lot, those of us who actually don't get hurt and prosper are the ones who are the most likely to benefit the most when, and I didn't say if, when they recover.
Right, because they always will recover because we know the markets go up 9% year over year, and that's the end of the day. So, okay, Mr. McClone, so we saw, I thought, a fairly dramatic rally in the bond market, which related to the TLT until the end of the week. But, I mean, wow, there was some action there. What did you take from that?
Yeah, well, I took from it something you and I kind of discussed a little bit before we got on air was I think, and you both, it looks like last week the market put in some pretty significant extremes. Now, one thing about TLT is the most notable ETF that tracks the U.S. Treasury bond market. And as our listeners know, it's been my absolute favorite long-term buy and hold position for almost over 2 years. Now, last year it didn't do so great. It did great in 2014. And this year it's up over 10%. Last week it got a bit of extreme on the upside, meaning it just got way overdone. The U.S. 10-year note yield got down to near 1.5%. It started the year near 2.3%. So it's a pretty good sign of a decent extreme. You know, it's always great to be able to sell a little bit, take some profits when the market goes your way, and then look to reload as it comes back a little bit. And I think that's what it did last week. It showed us a bit of an extreme, but it's doing what, unfortunately, you and I have been talking about for a while. It's just starting to mean revert. Globally and historically, complete against consensus, I still think the U.S. bond market is one of the most attractive places to put your money, i.e., first of all, the yield on the U.S. 10-year note is still amongst the highest above any other major westernized country in the world, the G10, you know, let's talk about Germany, France, Canada, you name it. It's still one of the highest yielders, and virtually all the trends I see in inflation and inflation expectations continue to trend down. Now people talk about unemployment and stuff. Well, that's significantly lagging. So the key thing to always remember with U.S. Treasuries is it's about expected inflation going higher, and that's the only time you really don't want to be long. And when you think inflation is going lower and things are getting worse, stick with U.S. Treasury. Still one of my favorite investments, but last week it was nice to have an opportunity to say, finally, it's gone the right way. Okay, I'll give some back to the market and look for better levels to load up.
Well, I mean, again, you know, one thing about bonds, they may be yielding a small number, but you know you're going to get the money. I mean, you know, that they're, you know,
amen.
It's a hell of a lot better than the negative interest rates that our great leader, Janet Yellen, talked about on the Hill. What'd you think of her testimony?
Well, Dudley came out. I listened to most of it because I was intensely writing some research. I want to talk about a little bit. I listened to most of it, and it's basically really what you expect. Sometimes I really enjoy the questions from the senators, and how I'm impressed how a lot of times the Fed Reserve people like Yellen and Bernanke respond, because you know what they want to say, because they know they're so politically orientated, the questions, but they have to keep to the bottom line. I think the testimony was spot on, but it's still very much a move. Let's picture ourselves in the car, adjusting, putting our right hands up and adjusting the rear view mirror. They're still very much rear view mirror looking without really focusing on what's really happening in the world. And I think it was good for her to point out what's happening in the markets, but that's where you and I have pointed out this is likely to continue. And what the key thing, I think, from the Fed is they're still talking about tightening. And that's the significant consensus, but it's finally being taken away. And that's where I still view the opportunities in the market is when you can do something that's against consensus is where you make the most vig, as we say sometimes in the market. And that is still against consensus that the Fed's going to ease. Now, that is what I think is potentially going to happen. And that's where we can generally probably profit very well in things like gold and silver.
Do you think there'll ever be a time that you and I will agree on the Federal Reserve? That's my question.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, because basically we did agree in a way, because I was just looking at statistics. I said the Fed was going to tighten, but although I did think it was going to be a misfiring mistake, you said they weren't going to tighten. But basically, we're right. Both of us were right. They did tighten, but we both agreed this is the wrong thing to do. And so let's look at what's happened since they tightened. That was December 16th. Since they've tighten, the S&P 500 is down 8%. Small cap stocks are down 14%. U.S. bonds, TLT, is up 9%. Gold is up 17%. And U.S. dollar index has started to decline. So to me, that's what's happening. And unfortunately now, if this continues, which is likely to happen, the market's going to turn around and unfortunately blame the Fed in a way for a 25 basis point tightening, not really a big deal historically, but the bigger issue was what they did back with QE3. That's what, for me, created this bubble that's just mean reverting.
I thought Janet Yellen looked like a deer in headlights, okay? I thought she did a, I swear, I mean, I'm not, I think she did a lousy job. Now, granted, yeah, she's speaking to a bunch of bozos that have no idea what they're talking about, and they're just, of course, you mentioned it, political questions. So I'm not saying, you know, it's hard, it's very hard to try to weigh through that when you have these dopes that have no clue of what the markets do or what the economy is all about, that they just know how to spend money. So I'm not taking that away from her, but she did not look, this was not one of her better efforts, if you ask me personally. And again, I wrote on Friday, Fed financial failure, because I do blame most of this disaster on the Federal Reserve, because they did have every opportunity to make things better way back when. They've had subsequent opportunities to get us out of the mess that we are in. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, let's not kid each other. This is not going to be a smooth ride when it finally, when the seatbelt comes off and we start to fall. It is not going to be a smooth ride. Now, again, I don't want to create fear for anybody. I'm not trying to create panic. But it's going to be a very bumpy road. But this should have been handled and could have been handled at a much faster and better clip long ago instead of now. What do you think?
Well, I think that has a lot of truth to it. To me, the biggest fear I have is what the Fed helped do to the U.S. stock market when they did QE3 and basically took the S&P 500, was at 1,400 and when it first started, went to 2,100, which was like the strongest stock market in the entire world for that period. And now that that's happened, it's taken away. It's, we have an example, and it's very similar to what the housing market did in 2006 and 7. The stock market basically got way too far above trend, and it's probably going to go back down, and it never really just stops at trend, you're probably going to back down below trend, which is going to have significant repercussions if that happens, like the housing market did in 2006. So I see in 2007 too, when it just basically started, it went up too much and then just went down. So to me, the Fed has to be somewhat responsible for that. But now, as investors, we have to see there's nothing they can do. They did what they had to do. They knew the bubble was coming. They tried to talk it back down. And that's where, as investors, we have to really focus on what can we do. The number one, make sure we don't get hurt and actually try to make some money in this market. And you and I, we don't want to talk the markets down, but we want to help people make money. And that's why I thought, what are the next iterations? Number one, look to lighten up on any type of equity type portfolio, risk assets, when the market rallies. Not, be careful when it sells off, because you know we're going to have massive short covering rallies and we might have more coming some. And put on some positions that will really protect you. And one thing that's really been looking to me attractive to me lately, since the bond market's already had a good rally and we've made some money there, is silver. Because silver, I think, is just starting to catch up, and I think it might have a potential win-win situation in silver. We can talk about that in a little later. So that's what I'd like. I always like to focus on. This is what the problem is. There's nothing they can do. The Fed's stuck. But what can we do to make sure we don't get in trouble and maybe even profit?
This is the Bubba Show. We are with my man, Mike McClone. And when I come back from the break, he's talking bubble. I want to know that they never admitted that we had a bubble. We'll talk about that when we come back. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. You got to check out our hedging program. I can only tell you this. Every time the market goes on, I get 100 or 200 emails thanking me for teaching them how this program works. You can check it out at BubbaTrading.com, as well as my Fed Financial Failure and many other articles I write every day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. You miss the show, LibertyTalk.fm, every day on demand. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with Mike McClone right here on The Bubba Show after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. We'll be right back. Show Todd Bubba Horwich, which is my guy, my friend, Mike McClung. So, Mike, you know, you mentioned bubble before he went to break. Now, nobody has ever admitted that this is a bubble, and I will say that this is a bigger credit bubble than there was in 2007-8, because the numbers are certainly bigger as far as the amount of debt and the lack of worth of the U.S. dollar. Tell me why I'm right or why I'm wrong.
Well, you're right in some ways. One of the issues that switched over this time. The housing market's okay. Basically, banks are better capitalized than then. And now we're all looking back in the rearview mirror, what happened wrong last time. We're making sure that's fixed. Okay, a lot of that's happened. The big issue this time is also a lot of the banks have a lot of money lent to the energy companies, oil producers. You know, it's considered free money, considered very safe. Well, that's when, you know, no one expected the price of crude oil to drop below $30 a barrel. Now, here we are. It has. A lot of those master limited partnerships, MLPs, and those things are like that are getting blown up, and that's a big problem. But to me, it's looking, you know, what are we doing looking forward? And some of the technical indicators I've seen are really starting to shift, very similar to what happened right before the crisis in 2008, but for different reasons now. One of the key things I've been doing research a lot now on is the VIX. The VIX index, the VIX, you know, the fear index, the volatility index. And one thing I've, you know, noticed is when the 50-week moving average on the VIX crosses above the 200-week moving average, which is basically after a long period when it's been very low, which it has been lately, it's generally a sign that the trend is shifting. Higher. The last time that happened was really a key example in history. Was August 2007. We all knew if you sold everything you owned in August 2007 and bought bonds and gold, you did fine. Well, this just shifted again recently. Very similar was September of last year. It shifted higher. So it looks to me like that trend has shifted higher. Equities are shifting lower. And, you know, now what are we supposed to do about it? How can we be safe?
Okay. Tell me. I'm dying. I'm at the edge of my chair. How am I going to be safe?
Okay, well, unfortunately, a lot of this is things you said, or you and I have discussed already. Still like the bond market, underweight stocks. One thing I've been looking at lately is silver. Silver is just getting beat up for the last, you know, since it made that high at 50 in 2011. It got down to as low as about 12. It's right now around just above 15. And I think silver might be one of the better investments to be in. We still love gold. We still like gold. It's great. But everybody knows gold. Everybody talks about gold. People don't really talk about silver too much. I view silver as a bit of a win-win. It just started, it just broke above the 50-week moving average last week for the first time in quite a while. It looks like it's bottom. And the way I view it is it did very well just recently as the stock market started to collapse. And a lot of that was because when the stock market went down, what it did is it started to take all this ease tightening out of the market, which started to collapse the dollar. And that's one thing that's really shifted. And it looks like, as you pointed out, you know, we mentioned earlier, was there could be potential bottoming process in this whole real asset things like silver, like crude oil. But those are hard to invest in, crude oil. Silver isn't. And also, I view it, if we get these some like these type of recoveries where at some point the Fed says, oh, we might not tighten, we might even ease, we might do some kind of QE again, that should benefit things like silver in addition to gold. So I view it as a bit of an underappreciated asset that has a good chance to bounce, and probably, you know, just looking for things that are rich or cheap. It looks very cheap and attractive in most environments. And say, what if we get lucky and all this bad stuff we talked about actually goes away and the global economy does not go into a recession? Silver should be one of the main beneficiaries. So I look at it as a potential win-win, and this is a question of when and how. And I look for technical indications. It looks like it's finally bottomed and broke up last week.
Well, again, I still say we're in recession, so the middle class has never come out. So I will continue with that theory and that theme. But now I've had this argument all week on air and almost every week, and I want to get your opinion because I respect it. The pundits continue to say that oil is driving the stock market, and there's the 100% direct correlation. And if you do what oil does, you'll be fine. And I go, BS. The oil and the markets, they could be correlated for any short period of time, but over time, they are not at all correlated, and they are not related other than if we're in a slumping economy or we're deflating. But you can put any commodity in that spot. It doesn't have to be oil. What do you say?
Fundamentally different assets is the key thing to remember. They are fundamentally different assets. Therefore, they should have moved to different drum beats. But this is part of the new world that a lot of the algorithms and the really smart math geeks haven't figured out yet, which is where, you know, you have to use a little bit of logic. And that is the fact that crude oil has dropped down so much, and so far it's bringing down a lot of bodies with it and taking a lot of people out, including the stock market and other things. It's just because it's moved so far so fast. And that's why you see a lot of these really smart hedge funds going under, because they're not just getting it. Not that I get it either, but these traditional things that, you know, one thing you have to always say in this market is always be careful if it's different this time. This one thing that's really different is there's so many things out there that are shifting. You have to be very nimble and careful. And in the short term, okay, we're getting these little moves, but traditionally the way crude oil has worked is when you have these spikes in crude oil because of any type of geopolitical event, that's usually bad for stocks. But as we know, in 2008, it was one of the worst things to be invested in when you wanted protection from the market going down. That's why we have to shift out and look for things that are really more likely to help protect us. And those key things are gold is very safe generally, silver is generally safe, and one thing is also the VIX. You can invest in the VIX, and that's a good way to get some protection from the market going down, and that's why I'm bringing that subject up, because it looks like that shifted higher.
Well, the one thing we both know, okay, is the market footprints in whatever market you're watching never lie. They may not be always correct, but if you stay with the footprint that the market leaves you, you're going to be okay. And yes, we are going to have a disaster, and neither Mike nor myself like to ever create fear, because that's not what we're doing. We're telling you that a bigger sell-off is most likely coming. However, it's for you to be prudent about your investment and make sure that you're not putting in money that you can't afford by leveraging up, which is one of the problems I see now too, Mike, is the high margin debt. I mean, that has to be a problem eventually too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was one of the key things about the Chinese market I remember hearing over a year ago. And generally it is, and generally happens in extremes in the market. And this is just one of those times you have to be careful. And that's just a good sign when you have to say, okay, thank you, goodbye. I mean, there's not much more to say than that. It's just another one of those indicators that things are a bit extreme. And my key one remains that this, just look at a simple trend line on the U.S. stock market going back to 1990 or 1950 or 1960, and you can see it's just way overdone. And then you can put in some rationale in it. Why did it get overdone? Did it have a good reason? I mean, in the 1990s, we had a great reason to rally. We had this paradigm shift in internet revolution. In the 2000s, and you know, since the crisis, what was the reason? QE. That's probably not the best reason to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I like silver. I'm a big fan. I mean, I'm a big fan of the metals. I think that, you know, we may be a little bit, I wouldn't be a shorter or seller of gold here, but I'd probably wait for some sort of a pullback. I would expect to see gold, you know, possibly sell off a little bit. Again, I think it's all about, you know, market footprints. I mean, you and I talked about it, you know, all the time about what were good numbers to look to kind of get in. And I think that we saw it even in the bonds. I mean, my prediction is the 10-year treasury goes under 1.5% before the end of the year. At least it prints under 1.5%. What's your thought?
I think it can go under 1%.
Oh, yeah. Michael, my boy, stepping up.
What? By the way, that's still well above most yields in G10 in most European countries.
You know, there's a problem all over the world. That's the real problem, is the financial engineering. We've talked about it before. The problem is that if they would just leave everything to price itself, it would always find what the fair and equitable price. Is that not correct?
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem we are in now, and that is the market went way up too much because of over-engineering from QE3, and now we're coming back, and it looks like we're at the point where markets are starting to no longer react positively to Fed and central bank actions. Well, that's the worst-case scenario. So I think, unfortunately, we're probably going to get organic market returns back to levels they really belong to, and, you know, where the market can seek its own level. Then that's where I'm looking for in this significant revision in gold and the S&P 500 back to near 1,600 or so, and maybe 1,500 in the S&P 500, a bit higher. And that's just simply watching what's happened. It's basically contributing to what you said earlier about correlations, like crude oil and S&P. It's just periods where things are really highly correlated and just periods where they're not really highly correlated. So oftentimes, historically, gold has had a zero to negative correlation to the S&P 500. But if you look at it since 2011, gold's gone straight down and the S&P 500's gone straight up. So they've had a negative correlation. That's what I think is a key thing that's starting this year, is those things are shifting back where gold's more likely to go up. And the main reason it's more likely to go up is because the stock market's likely to go down, which takes the Fed tightening back to easing, which takes the dollar strength back to weakness. So there's so many little iterations here, and almost everyone is contingent on the stock market going, mean reverting back to more organic levels where they can seek its own level.
And that's Mike McClellan, ladies and gentlemen. Michael, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, on demand. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Feel its way. Put
some feel good. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.